I think it's important that we understand what it means, and I think it's important that we fully try to grasp the concept. But before we can do that, before we can really just kind of get into the biblical definition of repentance, I have to say that we've got to first begin to see that there's a problem and a need to repent. I want you to look with me in the book of Genesis, and this is where we'll begin. As have other speakers begun here, of course, here that being the beginning. Let's look at Genesis in chapter 2. I am reminded here about this which God created. That God created the heavens and the earth, that God created us. And we find this in chapter 2 and verse 7, that us being mankind has been created by God. In verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Brethren, that is being fought in places today, that God has created us. And I want us to recognize this afternoon, as sleepy as we are, that let us recognize and fully hold fast to the fact that our God is the creator of the universe, that he's created us, and that he deserves every bit of worship that we can give him. I want us to recognize then in verse 8 that we also see that God created a garden for these ones to dwell. And the Lord God planted a tree eastward in Eden, and there he put man in whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food, the tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So we find here in verses 8 and 9 that God created these trees, and he created plenty of trees that would sustain the man that he created, the man and the woman. And that's important, brethren. I've got to understand, and we've got to understand as people today, that God is sustaining this world, that he is the creator of it, and he sustains it. That even in the garden, as he first created man, that he made the ability that they would be sustained, and it was God's doing that took place. So we've got to see here the importance of that. Then you look in verse 15. And in verse 15 it says, and the Lord God took man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So we see in verse 15 that God takes Adam and places him in the garden, and he is now going to be the keeper of that which God has created. And God has made it in such a way that it is going to sustain man, this man that he's made. And then in verse 16, notice here that from the beginning, our topic of repentance today hinges and also deals so heavily in what is said here. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded of man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now, God does not mince words. God is one who speaks that which is true. And he tells them here, if you eat of it, you're going to die. If you eat of it, you're going to die. Now, we notice that the devil's going to change that, isn't he? Change it in the perception of mankind. But God says this very thing. Now, look at chapter 3, and here we see it. Here we see, and I know that other speakers have gone here, let's look at chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the Lord God, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So the serpent here is asking this woman this question, did God say this? And in verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Here it is, this woman who God created. Did she know what God had said? Did she know what was right? Yes, she did. She understood and recognized that which God had said, and she saw that it was right. And then in verse 4, here it is, Satan changing that which God had said. And there's a perception of it. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. God here has placed these trees into the garden, and of this one tree God has commanded that they should not eat, or they will die. This woman takes of this tree She's beguiled by Satan. She does that which she was commanded not to do. And I know we're talking about time past. We're talking about a long, long time ago. But brethren, don't we see how these things play a part in the lives of every man or woman upon this earth? Hence our topic in our discussion today of repentance. Notice just a little further on in verse 6, when the woman saw that this tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. They ate of it. They did that which God commanded them not to do. And in verse 7, and the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves, it says, from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And in verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, where art thou? Where are you? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Adam and Eve, having this ability to fellowship with God in the garden. You know, you and I, we live in a world that's full of sin. We don't have to go far to open up our newspapers to read 5 minutes and see that there are problems on the earth today. That there is sin that is prevalent and present and that is involved in the lives of mankind today. And yet people, have you heard it? People say, there's no problem. I'm going to work today. I'm going all my life. I'm caught up in the physical nature of life and I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing. I don't have any problems. There's nothing wrong with me. And yet we look here and we say, wait a minute. Look at this. There was a problem. These people right here, Adam and Eve, had done something that God commanded them not to do, and they had a problem. And guess what? In verse 7, they knew that there was a problem. And today, we have got to teach and preach with all love that there's a problem. Sin today is not a big deal. It's a white lie here and a white lie there. It's do whatever you want to do. Do what feels right to you or what's right to that person. And God all along is telling us what we should do. Look at Genesis chapter 6. Don't you see there that the wickedness of the people, where was their mind? What were they thinking on? What were they intent to do? To do that which was sinful, which was wicked in the sight of the living God. And you and I know it. We know it today. We see the people are content to do these things. And yet there is a problem in there. We've got to be able to understand today that there is a problem. We've got to be able to preach. And I'm thankful for these young preaching students. I'm thankful that I was one of them. I'm thankful for the old veteran preachers who are here. And the fact that they continue. And I'm thankful for every member that is doing the Word of God. Let us all recognize the gravity of what we preach today, of what we're supposed to do, that is to teach the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in that gospel brings us to our lesson today, the idea of repentance. You see, looking back here in Genesis, you see the choice. Eve had a choice. God gave her that which she needed and she was going to be sustained by God, or she was going to take that which was commanded against and then she was going to die. Notice how real that proposition is to us today as we consider heaven and hell, as we consider sin and righteousness. It is life and death. So we can't just sit in the pews, can we? We can't just play church, can we? When these things, these matters are so important. We've got to recognize that the idea of repentance reminds us, in the Greek, the word metanoeo is comprised of two ideas, a compound word that, in a sense, one part means mind and the other part means change. The idea to change our minds, to return. I don't know of anything more important than us having the ability to choose life and God and Jesus Christ. We've got to choose. And inherent in life today, people go along thinking there is no big deal, that religion is not important, that this life and everything it is right here is most important. And look back at Genesis and see here that this is the same thing that the devil did to Eve, making her think that it was pleasant to the eye, that it was good for food, it was able to make her wise, thinking about physical things, being caught up in the physical world. And yet God over here, who has given us His Son, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, as we just finished talking about, has given us the sustaining power of Jesus Christ in the church and the Word of God today. And oftentimes, you know, I think it's so important that congregations teach and that they go out and they evangelize and that they strive to gain new people to the cross. But all too often I see that we have some who are already here who never really change their minds. The idea of repentance. The idea of living in a better way. I want us to look at some of these verses that are associated with that. Let's look at the book of Colossians for just a second this afternoon. Colossians chapter 3, and this is something that sometimes for us preachers is difficult. Sometimes it's difficult because we want the membership of the church. We want the ones that are here, the ones that are in the body of Christ. We want them to be faithful. We want them to wake up and see how important it is that they would repent. You know, I don't know about this congregation, but where I teach and preach in Baytown, sometimes we have visitors. Sometimes we don't. And so I get up every Sunday and I want to give the brethren an encouraging word. But I don't want to just do that. I want to give them the idea that they have got to continue to strive to be Christians. Continue to work for faithfulness. Continue to labor in the kingdom because of the importance of it. We find in the book of Colossians in chapter 3, how important this is. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, he says, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. The idea of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Notice there how this also plays. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, what is it? The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And you look back at Genesis and you see the devil and he's working today. Isn't he working today? Can't we see that? We've got to work and battle against him. I love what Brother Brumback said, battling against those powers that be, those spiritual things. We're fighting that warfare. It's not just about people. It's about ideas. The understanding of what is right and wrong as God has directed us and given us in His Word that which is right and wrong. And today, in the same way, we have a choice to make. What are we going to partake of? I had a man a good friend of mine, who visited California. When he got back, I think he's sometimes forgetful. But he told me this story about 3 or 4 times, you know, and just in passing. Have I told you about this yet? Yeah, you have. Well, go on. Go ahead and tell me. So he'd tell me again. He went to California and he found these trees, and they were apple trees, and they were on the side of the road. He asked the farmer if he could go over there and pick himself some. And he did that very thing. He stopped on that side of the road. He went over there and he grabbed them apples. He tasted one. He said the juice wouldn't stop running down his mouth. He ate 6. Now, I think by the time he finishes telling me the story, he's probably eaten more like 30. But he enjoyed them. You see, he was sustained by those things. And it was pleasant to eat. In the same way, we've got to ask ourselves, what are we eating? What are we putting in our bodies, in our minds? What are we giving? What are we putting? I want you to look with me in the book of Philippians, something I know you've seen many, many times. Chapter 2. If we're going to turn from that which is unrighteous, to turn away and to go to that which is righteous, if we're going to truly repent, then it's going to take our minds. We're going to have to transform our minds. Romans chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. Transforming ourselves by the renewing of our minds. Look with me at Philippians in chapter 2. Here it is in verse 5. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, he says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. What kind of mind do we have to have? What kind of mind do we have to possess? How do we change from being wicked in our minds and our imaginations to being that which is going to be a servant and righteous in God's sight? Why did Christ take upon himself the form of a servant? Look at verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And in the next verse, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Now I want you to recognize this and I want you to see this. Jesus Christ did the will of his Father. At no point while Jesus lived did he not do the will of God. And that right there, brethren, has to hit home for us about the idea of repentance and the idea of righteousness. About the idea of having to choose something which is worldly, something which is fleshly, something which the devil has corrupted of God, or choose that which God has given. The righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. I want us to recognize how important repentance is. You know, every Sunday morning, we have worship. And at the end of a lesson, we offer an invitation. And we say, if you have a problem, if you have a need, if you need to repent, if you need the prayers of the congregation, if you need to make something right in your life, then come forward. And I don't know about this congregation, I don't know about here, but it doesn't happen very often. And I've been several places and I've seen that. It doesn't happen a lot. People think, no, it's okay. I'm going to be embarrassed by having to go up forward. I'm going to be embarrassed by having to do this or I can take care of this privily. And yes, you can. But some things which are public need to be repented of publicly. But oftentimes we say, well, there's always going to be next Sunday. There's going to be another time. The answer is there may not. We've got to recognize that we offer that invitation for repentance, for changing. And what I'm trying to say this afternoon is that repentance is not just for those who have not obeyed the gospel. Repentance is for you and me. We have got to see that in order to live as God has commanded us to do, that we've got to repent of our sins. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. We've got to confess our sins. We've got to recognize that in order to be like God, in order to have fellowship, as 1 John in chapter 1 and verse 7 talks about, that truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. Maybe it's verse 4. Then we've got to see that, don't we? We've got to recognize that that fellowship comes with a price. We have got to humble ourselves and we've got to repent. And I think for us as Christians today, this is an important thing. We're not going to get to heaven if we don't repent. We've got to do the Father's will. Not only that, I want you to notice how the worldly sorrow and repentance is going to be different than the godly one. And I want us to see that the world says sorry all the time. It's just another word. But the biblical definition of repentance means that we're going to change. That there is a change, as you can see, that it is real, that it is something that we're doing. As we just talked about, we've got to be able to change. We've got to be able to be godly in that sense. You know, I think it's interesting how that in so many of the epistles, God, through the Holy Spirit, gives these men to tell these congregations, look, you've got to change. And you've got to stay changed. You've got to mortify the old. You've got to put on the new. And for you and I as Christians, that's very important. How are we going to be able to show people our repentance if we're not living that repentance today? We've got to have that reformation, that transformation. And again, you go to the book of Romans in chapter 12. Look there with me for just a second. A crux of this, what we're talking about. Chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. How do you get holy? By being found in Christ Jesus. By being found in that place where the holiness is, but we can abide in that holiness and abide in the church, that we can abide in the kingdom, that we can be found. You know, I'm so thankful that Brother Brumback touched on the idea of heaven not being something we can't see yet. He talked about heaven as being something that we have a very real sense of having today. It is something that we can taste. Think about what the congregation is. When we come together, it is not like the world. Let no sin be named among us. Let not sin be in the camp. Let us be like heaven is going to be. Let us have that transformation now. For without that transformation now, how are we going to get home to heaven? If our conversation is not there now, how are we going to be there on the judgment day? We've got to see that. You see, repentance is all about changing and living that life for God. I remember being in preaching school and having Brother Carl Garner. He scared me, I'll tell you. He scared me. He knew more Bible than I know now. And that's something to say. Well, maybe it's not, I don't know. He's a smart man. I remember when he taught us that specific day that the Bible contains a golden thread, that from the book of Genesis in chapter 3 and verse 15, God had a plan from the creation of the world that He was going to bring about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, if we can't see that today in our dispensation of how powerful Jesus Christ is, of how wonderful it is, I preached a sermon about 3 weeks ago at the congregation where I'm at about the idea of Jesus Christ being even before the creation of the world, and how you can see the shadow in the Old Testament. Am I right? We can see the shadow of the prophecies or the foretelling of Jesus Christ to come in the New Testament. We can see it as they're answered one by one in the New Testament. Jesus Christ fulfilling those prophecies, showing us without a doubt that He was the Son of God and the Son of promise that we find in Genesis chapter 12. Now, brethren, that's got to make us excited. We've got to be thoroughly excited by the fact that God has given redemption. But we've got to repent. We've got to change ourselves. We will be no good to God if we try to do what so many people do. Hold hands with God and play footsies with the devil. We can't do that. We've got to get out of the world and into the church, into Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? By obeying the gospel. We have got to preach it, brethren. I think it's so important for our congregations to recognize that there is work to be done. We have got to preach and teach God's word. And get this, God has given us a way to go back and to have fellowship with God for an eternity. Don't let this lesson be lost on you without recognizing that those people, Adam and Eve in the garden, had a fellowship, a communion with God. Something of the likes that we have never known, save in the church of Jesus Christ. Something that is going to be given to us when we enter into heaven. Something that is going to be wonderful and pure and righteous. The idea of being able to fellowship with God, which guess what? Like Brother Brumback said, we've got it right now. How precious is it? Are we willing to give ourselves? Just a few minutes that I have remaining, I want to talk about a few examples that we have of repentance. One of the greatest is in the Old Testament. David. You remember old King David? He was a man who had great wealth, who had a kingdom, but he was a man who was after God's own heart, the Bible says. He was one that sinned and sinned greatly. You remember that? Him and Bathsheba. The things that he did. He lusted after her. He took her with him. Then he tried to cover up his sin. He had Uriah killed. All of that. All that he did. And then you remember Nathan coming to him and saying, look, here's this story. Nathan tells it. David was angry. He saw it. That this person who done this thing should not live. He was angry. And you remember Nathan, what did he say? Thou art the man. David had two choices just like Eve did, didn't he? What am I going to do? Am I going to be the king? Prideful, arrogant, doing what I want to? Or am I going to repent and humble myself before the living God? You think about the New Testament and all the places that we see where men had to choose as those apostles went out to teach. They had to choose. King Agrippa. More convenient season, wasn't it? Wasn't ready to repent. How about us? Are we ready to change from living in the deception of the world? The deception of the devil that took place even in the garden? You know, often people today think, well, I'm sustained by the world. I've got my job. And I've got me these great things and I've done these many wonderful things. They don't really understand that God showers His blessing upon those who are righteous. And also upon those who are unrighteous. But that today, that which we need, that edification, that sustenance that God has provided is in the church. It is in the body of Jesus Christ. That we've got to be found in the church today. That we've got to repent of our sins. One of the final things I want to conclude with. Look at 1 Corinthians in chapter 6. 1 Corinthians in chapter 6 and verse 9. Then we'll look at one more verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Speaking to the brethren at Corinth, he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." You know, sometimes we think, well, we've got a hard thing to preach. Well, brethren, we do. But God has directed us to preach it. And salvation can only be found in those who are righteous and those who repent from these things. He says in verse 11, "And such were some of you." You were that. He says, "But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." If we haven't done that and we've been baptized, we've done all the things we feel that we need to do to be a Christian, then maybe we need to do a little more. Let us put our attitude into how we repent. Let us put our heart into how we repent. You remember Acts chapter 2? I don't have to go there. They were pricked in their hearts and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Do we feel that way today? What is there that we can do? Finally, in 2 Timothy, in chapter 2, and in verse 24, there it says that if we recognize, and I'm just saying this, if we recognize that we're Christians and we've truly repented and we recognize there's work to do, then look at verse 24. He says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." The world is confused. The world is beguiled. And you and I have this right here, the truth and the knowledge and the simplicity of God's Word. Let's take it to them. I appreciate your attention this afternoon.